This is the Mickey Miles and More podcast, your one stop for information on Disney races, Disney vacations, Disney theme parks, and more. Now, here are your hosts for the Mickey Miles and More podcast, Michelle Scribner-McLean, Chris Eliopoulos, and Mike Scopa.
Welcome home. This is Chris Eliopoulos, and welcome back to Mickey Miles and More. I am your host, as always. You may find me online at Chris Eliopoulos on Twitter and Facebook. With me today is the ever-wonderful, ever-scientific, Miss Michelle Scribner-McLean. Hi, Michelle. Welcome back. Welcome home.
Goodness. I'll tell you, I moved a year ago, and I am settled in. But I am happy, happy, happy to have a fun Zoom meeting where I'm not teaching 3 hours some hands-on math or science class, trying to excite freshmen.
Everything's been Zoom for a year, huh?
Oh my God, I'm Zoomed out. I'm getting Zoom physical therapy right now. How are you, Chris?
I'm Zoomerific. Doing well. Yeah, we're it's like you said, it's been a year. We're basically a year into this thing, so we're feeling good. So anyway, also with us is the ever handsome, ever debonair, ever present, Mike Scopa. Hi, Mike. Welcome home.
My siestas are getting shorter and shorter. Welcome back.
Three caballeros.
Yeah, welcome back. Well, actually,
Met the Mexican.
Yeah, what's it called? See how long it's been since Michelle's been. That's from the Tiki.
Rio de Tiempo?
Is it? Yeah. Rusty.
I think it's called Tropicana. I forget. It's been
We have to say that Mike is also the one of the feature articles from, I know everybody gets it, I know everybody subscribes, New Hampshire Magazine.
Yeah.
He is one of the feature people in the feature article about the Disney people who live in New Hampshire. And there are lots
That's
of them.
Right. It was a wonderful article, Michael.
Yeah. Jim Hill. I didn't write it. Mike Scopa.
How did they get in touch with you for this?
So Bill Burke is a contributor to the magazine. He wrote the book called Mouse Junkies. And Bill and I met about 10 years ago at a Disney media event. And we happened to be going up in the same elevator as a couple of Magic Kingdom managers who saw our names and started talking to us. And Bill kind of... And I kind of got together and, you know, became good friends. And he said, someday, I want you to, you know, talk to me about stuff. I'm going to write an article. And this year he contacted me.
It took him 10 years to put it all together.
Yeah. So, you know, we talked for about an hour and he focused on the running. Could have talked about so much more, but it was fun. You know, we talked about Jim and a few of Randy. I think, and I forget the other person, but it was really nice. If you know,
that was a good article. It was really wonderful. I loved seeing you with all your medals. It was well done.
They were not. That wasn't all of them, but yeah. You know how many? You know, we all have medals in boxes and.
Oh, I know. Sitting in drawers and everything. But,
Chris, subscribe to New Hampshire Magazine?
Are you kidding? It's like top of my list. It's right up there with the New York Times. I'm
popular
constantly.
Mechanics.
So. Anyway, so you'll notice that we are indeed back after a very long hiatus, and we'd had a little startup for a while, but we kind of put it on hold. And so what we're going to do is, Mike, you're going to take over and sort of explain why we're starting up again, why we're here, where we were, what's going on, what this podcast is going to be about. And Michelle and I are just going to sip wine and ignore it all.
Well, you know, the thing was that a few weeks ago, the thought crossed our minds that, it's been at least a year, if not more, for us, and probably for a lot more people that, you know, have been just waiting out this pandemic and trying to figure out when it would be time to return to the happiest place on earth. And so with the current landscape, showing that there's vaccinations happening and there's a light at the end of the tunnel, the thought was that maybe we're slowly going to get back to normalcy, whatever that's going to be. And with that, we figured that there are people out there who are probably thinking, maybe we can plan a trip to Walt Disney World or Disneyland or whatever. And if that's the case, then we thought that maybe we should explore what that means at this point in time, in terms of what to expect, what's different down there, what's changed, what's open, what's closed, what you would have to do if you were planning to go back to Walt Disney World in 2021. So this is the first of maybe several shows in which we're going to explore that and try to make a list of those questions that we need to answer down the road and hopefully come up with some type of set of guidelines for people. I know Michelle has gone through the process with me trying to figure out what, you know, if we were going to go back, what we had to do, and there's been a lot of interesting things that, you know, we're finding out, and we just thought it would be good to share them. And that's a good reason for coming back, because that's what we're here for.
Yeah, I mean,
kind of like relearning again, relearning how to take a trip to Walt Disney World.
You're right, Michelle. Yeah, you're right.
Plus, I think it's, you know, what's interesting is there's a lot of stuff that we're going to be going through as well as guests that we can probably impart. Like, you guys have already re-upped your annual passes. I have not done that yet after putting a halt on it. I don't even know if I can renew it or I have to buy them all new. Like, so I'm going to go through this process while we're doing the podcast, and I might have to report back and tell you what I went through. But you guys as DVC holders went through it as well. So those are like, that's the kind of questions that I'm sure most people have and that we have as well. Michelle, what are some of the questions you've got about moving forward?
You know, I do know people who have been and been multiple times. The safety aspect of it is very important to me. And I feel, you know, if anybody's going to do it well, you know, typically my feeling is Disney will do it. But then I hear conflicting reports about the number of people there and things like that. So so that's one of the, that's my biggest question. Another question that I have is, and we've all three talked about this, what is open? And what is, one of the things that I love the most about Walt Disney World are the fireworks and the nighttime events that they have. We know those aren't happening, but sort of trying to walk through what is my experience going to be like if things are closed, if the park's closed early. And also I'm wondering about restaurants. You know, we love to dine all around the world. All three of us love to dine all around the world. We love to visit restaurants. We love to visit the bars. What is that experience like? And I guess the last one is thinking about the resort experience. So we like to stay around Beach Club Boardwalk. We love Stormlong Bay. Can we go in the pool? Can we sit in the chairs? Can we, you know, walk around the resort? What? So just kind of trying to get a feeling to, we are three of us very, very experienced Walt Disney World people. And this is sort of taking us out of our comfort zone and putting us in another decision-making process. We're trying to stay safe with our families. We're all desperately needing vacations, but we want to make sure that we know what to expect and we can do some planning around that.
Mike, what are some of your questions that we're going to try to discuss and figure out?
How much time do we have?
All the time in the world.
Piggybacking on what Michelle said, there are probably questions which are not right at the surface. And when you start to dig into a question here and there, it usually leads to another question. And then you begin to think and actually feel sorry for those people running the show down there when you can do certain things. Like Michelle mentioned, you know, a big deal is the firework. Harmonious. Begin on up. The fireworks in the Magic Kingdom. The studios. The thing is that we don't know, because in many cases, a lot of the things that we and everyone else has enjoyed Disney World involves crowds. Involves things that are taboo. Social distancing is not a deal. So If you sit back and think about all the attractions in which there's crowds, in the queues, in the venue, in the rides, you begin to see what's going on down there. I think that, again, what Michelle said, what's open, what's closed. What is closed now, but may be open in 4 months? What is not available now, but will be available in, let's say, July or August? I'm sure that they are looking, the powers that be down there are looking at June, July, and August, and they're trying to figure out what they can do, what the capacity is. What about the capacity of the parks? You know, what's going on now? Will the hours change? There are a lot of people, I know I'm one, that I'm thinking, why would I want to pay full price? And this is something that's been a pain in my side for a year. Why are we paying the same price when there's no fireworks, there's no shows, not all the attractions are open, no parades, the hours are different? It's just one of those things that, you know, begets another question. What attractions have been impacted by the pandemic? There's also, for a lot of us who haven't come back, who haven't been there in a while, you had one question right off the bat, Chris, about annual passes. We've been doing a lot of research on annual passes. What's the deal with that? What about the new park reservation system? If you haven't been there in a year, you probably haven't looked into it. But if you look into it, it's like, whoa, I really have to do some planning. So one question is going to lead to another. And as we delve through all these questions, I think what's going to happen is that one of us is going to say, wow, I just thought, what about this? So I think we're just going to be scratching the surface for about a week or two. And then, you know, we'll probably flush out all the questions that need to be asked. And hopefully we'll find the answers.
Yeah, I think there's so many questions that beget more questions. Like, even I think my questions tend to be process questions in terms of what is so
right
now. Everybody has to wear a mask in the parks as people are getting vaccinated. Is Disney going to institute a thing where you get like a wristband, like, you know, when you go and you pay your thing to go to a bar and it says, oh, I got my vaccination, I don't have to wear a mask? The people that haven't, are they required to wear a mask? When does that end? How long does that go on? You know, the questions.
Can I build on that just before
yeah,
you go on?
Yeah.
I mean, I've traveled to Africa many times and I've had to travel with a vaccination card. You know, they won't even let me out of America into, you know, I've been to Tanzania without the card that says I've been vaccinated. I have to prove it. So is that where we're headed? That you don't go into the park unless you're vaccinated? You can prove that you're vaccinated? Sorry, Chris, I just wanted to add on.
No,
to
I agree. I mean, but that, you know, that's the thing. It tends to be once we reach the herd
immunity.
We're going to be in a position where I think that's going to go. But then again, then the other part of that question, which I have, is which of these things that they have instituted will carry beyond this moment? So obviously they're very careful about with putting up screens in front of people or in ride vehicles, or they only allow, you know, one family to ride in those buckets, whatever they're called. Keep that going? The buckets.
The bucket attraction. Oh, okay.
The new transportation, the buckets. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, where before they were cramming people. Like,
they throw everybody in there,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And so now they obviously are being cautious. Do they continue doing that? Who knows? Like, you know, these are things like, obviously we all in our lives, in the everyday life, have questions of will things go back to the way they were in a certain sense, or will some things stick and we're going to keep doing those things a certain way? So I wonder if Disney's going to start doing that. I wonder how many meetings they have a day trying to figure out the process and what makes people feel safe. I mean,
when they're going to bring back cast members, more cast members.
Right.
What are the metrics they use to open up rides again, to open up attractions, entertainment? Yeah.
I think the biggest question that we haven't touched yet, and Mike, I'm going to have you kind of give any questions that you have on this whole big giant subject. We're not going to do answers today, but I want some of your questions about it, is October 1st. It is the 50th anniversary of Disney World, and we're approaching that very quickly. I'm sure you have 50,000 questions about what that means.
Well, as someone who's been to the pretty much every single anniversary that they've had, I do know that, from what I recall in the past, there's been a slew of announcements that have been coming out as soon as maybe 6 months within the anniversary date, but we're not seeing that. So what we have seen, I don't think this is a big secret, is that they're talking about shimmering lights in the castle and Spaceship Earth and a few other of the icons, I think maybe even the Tree of Life and I think the Tower rides on Tower of Terror. And they've also said, hey, Mickey and Minnie have new uniforms for the anniversary. But that's it.
You know, Ratatouille, they announced Ratatouille would open.
Ratatouille is going to open on October 1st, true. That's correct. But the Harmonious thing has been going on for almost 2 years now. We knew a year before they were going to replace Reflections of Earth, that there was going to be something. But they've been pretty tight-lipped. So here are my questions, Chris. Number one, are there new fireworks planned for the Magic Kingdom? I don't think I've heard anything about that. Are there going to be any special promotions like Years of a Million Dreams, Year of a Million Dreams from a few years back? Are there going to be any type of contests or anything so that people can win a trip to Disney during this 18-month celebration, which is interesting because every other single celebration has been 15 months from October of the previous year through the next year to December. This one is 18 months, which tells me that they are reacting to the pandemic and they feel that this this set of guidelines that we have been going through are going to continue. To get to your point, Chris, I don't think the masks are coming off. I think we're going to be with masks down there. Even if you're vaccinated, I think you're going to be required to wear masks.
I don't want answers today, Michael. I only want questions.
Okay. So you want, all right. So here's some other questions. Not all the resorts are open right now. You cannot book a week at certain resorts for next week. Maybe in June, maybe in July, but they're not. So will all the resorts be open by the most crowded time during the year, June, July, and August? Is that going to happen? Number two, is the park capacity going to increase? That's a really big question because I think that is sort of a catalyst for everything else. If you have a park that's operating at 75% capacity, what are the queue lines going to look like if you have to stand 6 feet behind the family in front of you? How long is it going to take to get on Space Mountain? We've seen queue lines that go all the way back to the TTA when there hasn't been a pandemic. So I can't imagine how that's going to work. Will fast passes return? They're not there now. And if you don't have fast passes, those lines are going to get longer. What about the restaurants? How about the restaurants in World Showcase? They're very tight. Are they going to open? Are they going to allow 10 patrons at a time? The most popular restaurant, the restaurant that does the most business in the Magic Kingdom, is Crystal Palace. What's going to happen there? What's going to happen to the resorts that have buffets? The Beach Club and Trails End, and it goes on and on and on. You have to be very careful. So there are a lot of things that when you start asking a question,
yeah,
and as I'm talking to you, I'm thinking, oh yeah, what about this? What about that?
Yeah.
You know. So
all right, and I'm thinking like all the reservations that we've tried to make and the plans that we've tried to make. Every time we call, it's like an hour on the phone and can't get reservations. So like, what does that mean? What does that, that mean in the big picture? How many
Michelle,
people are going? And
yeah, I was going to ask you, Michelle, because it's funny, like scientifically and the scientific data. So after 9/11, numbers dropped, right? So the parks weren't making numbers. And you think of what we're going through right now as sort of a calamity of that kind of nature. We're losing a lot of people daily. And now they're going to start opening up again. But human-wise, I think people are going to want to get out of the house, and they want to go somewhere, and they want to go to Disney World. It's going to be like the opposite, don't you think, of what happened after 9/11? People stayed away. Now it feels like everybody's going to be racing down there. And are they going to be able to hold the numbers? Like, what do you think? Do you have questions about that?
About the numbers and what it would take.
Like,
for it to
are you questioning? Like, is it going to be more people racing down there this summer, or is it going to be
and
less?
I actually read an article about this. I think 9/11. You know, people jumped back really quickly because they were like, "America, nobody's going to stop us from going
to
Disney World."
Their numbers were bad for a while.
Not too long. I think they bounced back pretty fast, like a month into it. But I think this is completely different. I've had people at work who've said to me, even my students, "Oh, you've been to Disney World," and I'm like, "Duh, science! No, I haven't been to Walt Disney World." So I just think with all the new different strains of this coming out, and I think it's going to be a different way of life for a while, but I don't know how to model this. I don't know how to think about this. I do worry about people arguing with each other and people arguing with cast members, and is that going to make a stressful vacation experience for me? And I think, Mike, you and I heard of one of our friends who we may have on the show soon sending pictures of Animal Kingdom packed, and like, so what is the point at which it is not a fun vacation for me? It's a stressful vacation because I'm just worried about my own safety and safety of the people I love. So many questions. So like, and all the things that we all just take for granted, that everything's open and we pick and choose and kind of go around, you know, we have to kind of walk through a whole different experience. You know, if you want to go on Small World, what is that going to be like? Do we need to think about that ahead of time? If we want to go to what's the bar in Boardwalk, anyway, if we want to go like to, or the one that we all three of us always go to in the yacht club, the Cruise Cup. What's that going to be like?
Yeah. Martha's Vineyard, yeah.
It's like we have to kind of walk through all the, everything that we just take for granted that we could just stroll around and do. We have to kind of think ahead and think about what's the stress level? What's the crowd level that I'm okay with? It's just really, we all want to get out so much. And I know I really desperately want to go back and need a vacation. We all do, but I don't know, Chris. I don't know how to answer that.
I bet Mike knows the answer, but Mike, you have more questions?
Well, one of the things that I've been thinking about for a long time is there a connection between the resorts and the park capacity? I used to know off the top of my head how many on-property rooms there were and how many on-property rooms means in terms of guests staying on the property. My guess is that if the resorts are all open to capacity, then the parks would be open to capacity. Right now, from what I understand, that's not the case. I'm not going to get into specifics, but I think that's a key factor in watching over the next several months. As resorts open, is Disney saying, we're going to increase the park capacity? I think that's right at the top of everybody's list. Questions is like, how many people are they going to allow in the park, and how is that going to affect my, vulnerability? So I'm thinking that's a big deal. And when you talk about park capacity, you have to talk about their transportation system. You have to think about monorail. You have to think about buses. You have to think about boats. You have to think about
buckets,
the Skyway. It's all connected. And this is exactly what I said before. One question begets another one. What about the pools and the resorts? I don't know if people are in them now. I haven't looked into that. There's just so many things, and as you get into the months ahead, one of the things that Michelle brought up the other day, Michelle, remember how you said, what about July 4th? What about July 4th?
That's always one of our favorite times to go down. Yeah.
We've been there on July 4th. It's probably one of the five, maybe three, busiest days of the year. I don't know if I want to be in a park if there's not going to be fireworks on July 3rd or 4th. Yeah. Why would I want to do that? So that's a question that we need to explore. So you get into the summer months, and then all of a sudden it's August and September, and now you're looking at food and wine. What's going to happen with that? And then, of course, why we all started this podcast in the first place. What about the Run Disney races? That's another situation where, you know, we've talked about, you get there, the pre-race gathering, the corrals, the race itself. It's always been crowded. When you're running with 23, 24, 25,000 people, it's crowded. So, I mean, all these questions have to be answered. And I don't know what else is, you know, what else is lingering in the back of my mind that I haven't thought of. And I just don't think I'd want to be in a position to make a decision that may cost someone, you know, their health.
It was funny because I talked to Becky the other day, and she's like, hey, we're starting to book for a marathon weekend. And I didn't have an answer. I didn't have an answer whether or not we would be going. I mean, we have a vacation scheduled for August, and I'm hoping to be going down there. I'm kind of, the idea of wearing a mask in August down there is not appetizing to me. But then it's like, oh, are we going to be down there for January for the race? Like, that's the big thing. I mean, are they going to open up for wine and dine in November? I don't know. That's another question. Are they going to limit the amount of entries to any of these races? Like you said, we're going to start going down more questions. Like, I think we're going to wind up having more questions than answers. And you wonder, what the heck is poor Disney trying to do, trying to figure out all these problems, you know? I mean,
but, you know, I think these are really important things for us to think about. I think they're smart things for us to think about.
And
I think that, you know, coming up with answers will help people, including us, frame our decision-making process to go back. I know that we have a lot of trips planned for June, July, and August, including a cruise. You know, that's another thing. We're waiting to see if the August cruise that was canceled for last year is going to be on again this year. And that could be a whole nother show or set of shows. Like, what should we worry about with the cruise? So, not you, Chris, but
not me. I was going to say, I don't have to worry about that part. But.
Down the road, there's also, again, with the as we get into late summer and early fall, we get the parties. Not so scary. Yeah.
And I'm also booked at Vero Beach, Disney Vero Beach. So, like, what's that experience going to be like? And no, that's just a hotel and beach, but I do wonder, you know, all the things that I love about walking on the beach with a naturalist, you know, the outdoor excursion experiences, what's that going to be like? So,
you know, you get into the Christmas, you get into the candlelight processional, that was canceled. I just can't imagine. Well, you've been to the candlelight processional, Michelle. You've seen how crowded it is up on that stage. They can't sing with masks on, can they? You know, but they can't sing without masks because, boom, you know, you're gonna expel, you know, germs or whatever. So it's just really, really kind of interesting how, as we're talking, I'm thinking more and more questions. Yeah, I never thought of that. I never thought of this. I think I already said the pools at the resorts.
Yeah.
You know, what about those? When you talk about the cruise, one of the things you and I have talked about, Michelle, is that, well, there's the sailing away. First off, when you get to the port, it's very crowded, just getting everything all settled. Mm-hmm. And then the hallways are narrow. The you've got the dining halls are very crowded. You've got
the buffets.
The nighttime stuff. You have the pirate, you know, the sailing away thing. Everybody's on top of the ship, and they, you know, go by. And then you've got pirate night, and then you've got, you know, all the shows, and you've got.
What do they do when they sail away again? Hey, goodbye.
So, you've got bingo. You know, the bars are not that big.
Mike
so,
is a bingo guy. All he wants is to go on the cruise to do bingo.
You know, one restaurant that I'm dying. I want to be there the first time Chris goes on a ship.
Ugh.
Animator's Palette, you know, that restaurant, dining hall, whatever you want to call it, the tables are pretty close.
All the tables and all the restaurants are very close.
So, I mean, the cruise line has another set of questions. And
what about excursions? Like you're going to Cancun or you're going to Grand Cayman. What's that going to be? How do we know that they're safe?
Yeah. So there's so many questions, and
yeah,
and that's why we're back.
There you go.
Welcome home.
Welcome home, everybody.
So so basically, to kind of sum it all up, basically what we're trying to do is we're trying to answer all the questions that are needed to be answered to help any vacation planners, be it professional or be it, you know, civilian like us, what we should be aware of and what we need to get answered while planning a trip for 2021. I can tell you right now that, you know, Michelle and I have talked about this, if we get a lot of people who ask us, you know, for advice and everything. If someone came to me and said, we're planning our first trip to Walt Disney World, what should we do? What should we expect? I really don't know what to tell them. Do I say it's not worth it?
I would say wait a year.
Go down. Well, here's the thing.
You and I have different opinions about this, Mike.
Well, but let me put this out there. My thought is that if this is their first trip, then it's quite possible that they've saved up 2 years maybe to go down there with a family, a young family. And is it worth them going down if things aren't, you know? Oh, I'm sorry, Daisy, you can't take a picture with Belle because there's no character photos. There's no character meet. No, Jimmy, I'm sorry. No fireworks. Things like that. So,
My thought is that you'd never get to everything on your first trip anyway, so why not go and experience what you can experience?
It's a good idea.
And then go back.
However,
to
answer that, Michelle, and we're not giving answers. If I went down a list of things that are closed compared to what's open.
I think you will, right?
I will.
You're going to do that too.
And you might very well change your tune. I really.
But here's the question, though. With the limited amount of things that are open or functioning, would they get the true Disney experience by going now versus when everything was open and running? Would they feel not obligated or interested in returning if they didn't get the full Disney experience?
Well, that leads to another question.
Well, I just asked the question, so.
Well, if someone can tell me what they mean by the Disney experience, what is the Disney experience? Is it being what I used to write a long time ago called being in the Disney zone? And to get into the Disney zone, there has to be some kind of stuff going on. The Disney experience is not defined enough for me to say, okay, you know, I'm gonna say yes, go, or I'm gonna say no, go. It's really up in the air. It's really, really a struggle. And I really feel for anyone who is, you know, struggling with that. The other thing is that, you know, talking about the vaccinations, children won't be vaccinated till maybe the fall. And we're finding out that there's a variant that may be spreading among children. So that's another thing that is thrown into this.
We're all three of us planning on going. So let's just make that clear. I mean, that's why we want to talk about this. We are planning on going. There's something that has tipped our decision-making in the favor of going. Mike is vaccinated, right? So that's awesome.
Half vaccinated.
I will be vaccinated very soon. Mm-hmm. Yep. Chris?
Yeah, we're so in New Jersey.
At least one of your boys is.
My one EMT boy is fully vaccinated, but starting on the Monday, so tomorrow, I am eligible, as is my wife and my other son, so we can start pushing to get that vaccination soon. So we should be ready to go.
That's awesome. I didn't realize that New Jersey had a different calendar than the rest of the world.
Well,
tomorrow is Monday.
I will say we've been in our area, it's been very
busy. I'm saying tomorrow's Friday, so it's not Monday.
Oh, oh.
I'm just teasing you. Sorry.
No, this is coming out on Sunday, so tomorrow is Monday.
Oh, okay.
You're ruining the illusion, Michelle.
Wouldn't be the first time.
All right. Well, but yeah, so, and that's part of it, is just been sort of, let's see what we can do. But also, our kids aren't, 7 years old, they're 21. So they're adults, and we can go and separate and visit and not feel worried too much. So we sort of pulled the trigger on it, but
But then we take it one day at a time. But I'll tell you, it is nice, isn't it nice to have that idea that it might happen?
Like, yeah, it's sort of light at the end of the tunnel. As long as it's not a train coming at us, it's good.
It feels good. It feels, and that's why we're saying welcome home, because it feels good to feel like we're going home. We're gonna be able
It feels like, the news is really good in terms of people getting vaccinated, and we're starting to see an end to this thing. So, these questions are really good questions. I don't think these are negative questions that we've been dealing with today. It's more of a, wait, how's this going to happen? How's this going
to
work? And
yeah,
we're excited for it.
You know what the parameters are.
Yeah. And I think it's more, not that they ever listen to our show. Maybe they do. I don't know. But the Disney executives, I'm sure, are having meetings left and right, figuring this out themselves and hearing somebody outside of their bubble discuss it in terms of a guest, as opposed to like, we want to get people back in, and we want to make money, and we want to make sure that the experience is good. What are the questions they're having? Why aren't they choosing to come here? Or what are they worried about when they do come here? And I think addressing it helps not only us, but helps probably the Disney Corporation.
That's a great point, Chris. I think that's that is really spot on. I think that there are individuals within the company who monitor podcasts, who monitor forums, to see what's going out there. And I think it's important and it's imperative that they try to figure out what's going to draw back their guests. At the same time, they're struggling with capacity. But I think that's a very good point, that they are trying to figure out, what are we looking for from the Disney experience? And one of the reasons why I feel good about us coming back is that we said earlier in the podcast, we talked about annual passes and how Michelle and I, spent a couple of days trying to figure it out. I think that it's important to have a source of information, somewhere where you can go so you can get these kinds of answers and stuff. And I hope that our show is one of those. I don't know. I really can't say which resources out there are ones that I would rely on all the time. I think you have to double and triple check a lot of things. So I'm hoping that we serve as a resource for people who need those questions to be answered.
Very cool. So we're going to wrap it up there, and we're going to start answering questions next week. But I do have one little announcement. I don't think I've told Mike and Michelle yet, but
what? You tell us everything.
I know. I think I might have, but I haven't really sort of. I don't know if anything's going to be in it. I did some. I don't know if it's an interview or if I presented some information, but so coming up this year, Disney is going to be putting out a book called Walt Disney World: A Portrait of the First Half Century. It's going to be a hardcover tabletop book. And within the book, they've interviewed some celebrities and people like me questions about the Disney parks, and I gave some quotes for the book, so I should be in the book. So, if you're thinking about it, check it out on Amazon or wherever you find your best books.
What's the title again, Chris?
It's called Walt Disney World, A Portrait of the First Half Century.
Wow.
And I gave some quotes for it and my experiences. And I think it's going to be a really interesting book. I'm actually looking forward to myself seeing the book and reading the book. So I hope you go out and pre-order it today. So that's going to do it for us. On behalf of Michelle Scribner-McLean and Mike Scopa, I'm Chris Eliopoulos. We'll see you on the road and in the parks, and welcome home.
We hope you enjoyed listening to today's episode of the Mickey Miles and More podcast. For all of us here at the Mickey Miles and More podcast, this is Rick Gregg saying thanks for listening and all your support. And until next time, we'll see you on the road.